Hey, welcome to Table Talk Discussions number 58. We are Tom and Trista Neal with Call to Learn. We are ready to talk today about, do you want to introduce the subject?
The subject is heart and hands.
Yes. So heart and hands. So there is a story that, I think it was Brother Uchtdorf. Now I was going to look that up. I forgot. But Brother Uchtdorf talked about, and he says, he talks about a story about how it happened during World War II, and there was a large statue of Jesus Christ. And when the bombs happened and things like that happened, that the statue was destroyed.
Well, not destroyed, mostly just destroyed. It was broken up.
Broken up, and the artists were able to put him mostly back together, except for his hands. They were too far damaged. Yeah. And so they struggled with, are they going to be able to fix it? Should we hire a sculptor to make better hands or different hands? Or should we just leave them? And there was a discussion between them. Finally, they decided to leave it. And he says, they decided to leave it as a permanent reminder of the war and the tragedy. But then later on, the people of the city added these inscriptions at the bottom of the statue. It says, "You are my hands." And I thought that was so touching, that you are my hands.
Yeah.
God uses us in our, his uses our hands, right? He uses our hands for his hands.
For his work.
You can see that in laying on of hands. You can see that with blessing other people, helping hands, etc.
Yeah.
So let's start out with hands.
So keep that in mind as we go throughout the whole little bit here today.
So let's look at our physical hand. Lots of people have talked about the hand being so miraculous. Well, why? Why is it so miraculous? Give us some tips.
Well, so some of the things would be that, obviously we think when we first talked about this, I was like, what are we going to say about hands? I mean, a hand is a hand, right? Well, we take it for
granted.
For granted,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So you have, your hands have all these, extra, how many, 29 did you say it was? 29 joints.
Yeah, 29 joints
just in your hand. And we were just saying different things like that, and then we brought up the fact that it's a quarter of our bones are right here in our hands. A quarter of all the bones in our body. And then we started thinking about, oh, well, that makes sense. We were talking to our son, and he's like, yeah, because you can't bend, you have to bend and really manipulate. If we didn't have enough bones and joints, we couldn't, pick up a pen. We couldn't, even doing that to a pen or writing. All the fine motor skills we have are because we have fine, small bones.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for that, we wouldn't be able to do it. So that's, it's really, it is miraculous.
Yeah.
Some other little interesting things.
Our son said that if there was a whole bunch of joints in our arm right here,
we could do the wave.
We could do the wave a lot better.
But you can see that you don't need as many bones in other parts of the body because the body doesn't have to do that fine motor skills that you do with your hands. So then there's the interesting piece is that there's no, you don't have muscles here. That might be a muscle,
that's
a muscle there. But for the most part, you don't have muscles in your hands. They're just linked with bones, linked with tendons down over here. And you can feel, you can actually feel it if you wiggle your hands, wiggle your fingers, move your hands. You can feel that. So, think on that. What significance does that have? And then, of course, there's something quite significant. We use it nowadays to authorize our phones and everything. Our fingerprints, making us very individual and unique.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that when it comes to heart and hands.
Yeah,
because we don't have time to talk about all these different things.
No. But there are many, and I love the part that there's 27 bones in your hand and 8 in your tiny little wrist. That's a lot of bones in your body.
So you add that, of course, with your feet, mm-hmm. and then you probably have about half your bones.
Yeah, And what makes us really unique from most animals is that we have that opposing thumb where we can grip. And I was reading some ancient documents that, well, in ancient history, I can't remember who it was, but he says some of the tortures that they did in Rome was to cut off, as soon as someone was seeing, they would cut off their thumbs. That so was their...
What was, for when they were what?
When they were captured. So anybody captured, they would cut off their thumbs. And so that they wouldn't be able to use very much. The thumbs are really super important. And one of the physicians that I was reading about said that if you're going to lose a finger, then your index finger is the least important. And I was thinking, man, I use my index finger for a lot of stuff, so I don't know what he's talking
maybe
about.
Maybe say because you don't want to be
pregnant. Yeah, maybe.
So also fingernails.
Oh, yeah. Fingernails are really interesting.
Because they protect the finger.
Mm-hmm. Fingernails are made of the same material as hair.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like hair. Like hair grows from our body as excess, and so do our fingernails.
But they're not the same material.
Well, they're
like. My hair is different from my fingernail.
It is different. I can't tell you why exactly.
And they show us something.
They show us our health.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell liver problems. If liver problems would mean if you're twisted and go down like this, you could tell a whole bunch of different things. All your oxygen level is also found at the moons of your fingers. Mm-hmm. So health reasons.
And calcium sometimes.
Calcium, yeah. Calcium deposits, yeah. So that's exactly. Interesting. Yep. So, yeah, there's so many cool things about fingers. Our fingers are even more sensitive than our eyes.
Our fingers are more sensitive than our eyes. Mm-hmm. And you know, we don't think about it too much that way, but last week, you remember, we did talk about how a person who reads Braille has much more. We think that there's not really much there, but it's a lot more than we think. Mm-hmm. And I think also, like my mom and dad, who both ended up with neuropathy and couldn't feel anything in their fingers, noticed just how much you miss.
Yeah.
We don't notice it because we work with it. It's part of how we sense things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We feel things, touch things, texture things. Kids do it. But we have more receptors here in our fingers, more sensitivity here in our fingers and in our wrists than we do even on our face and our eyes.
So how do we connect our hands with our heart? Is there any physical thing?
I pledge allegiance.
Okay. But you were telling
there's a vein. I can't remember what it's called, but the vena amoris. And there's a connection to the third finger, or the ring finger, that has a direct connection to the same veins in our heart.
So there's a direct correlation there. So now we'll just switch and go to heart and hands. How do those work together?
Well, also with this same vein in this finger is the reason why they chose the ring finger to have the ring on it, saying that I'm connected. My heart's connected to you, and how I'm going to show you. You can't put a ring around your heart, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know how to. But you can put a ring around your finger, which indicates that my heart is to yours. I give my heart to you.
So spiritually, what can we say about hands?
Very a lot. So there's the spiritual, we give blessings with hands from our heart to our hands as well. We could also do expressions with our hands. Hands express what's in my heart. Yeah, they express what's in my heart. Mm-hmm. I love hands for just using them as indicators, like hi, right? Yeah. We use our hands to talk. Salutations, saluting. You can tell I'm a Cub Scout, right? This is a Boy Scout. So yeah, there's different ways to do that. There's identity as the fingerprints, like you've mentioned before. But service. You know, you always hear of hearts and hands as service.
Well, and so to share with you what I discovered as we're looking more at heart and hands, I just typed in heart and hands in Google. And you can do this and see just how many different types of heart organizations use hearts and hands. And what's interesting about it, what I thought was really fascinating, was they almost always have to do with some kind of nurturing, doing nurturing by doing.
Yeah.
So, like, one I saw was a group that, it was a group that took care of youth after school hours.
Mm-hmm.
Another took care of babies, and another took care of the other end of the spectrum, the older people, and just different things like that. It was always seemed to have to do with nurturing or caring and doing mm-hmm. for the person.
Yeah. Even like we talk a lot about now caregivers, those that are caregivers mm-hmm. for their youth or for their elderly always have, you know, the helping hands, the hands
well,
out.
Well, just about to or, say there's the helping yeah. hands
mm-hmm. the helping is another. Hands, yeah. Or the 4-H has the heart, head, and hands.
Mm-hmm.
The Mormon helping hands.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah. That's the yellow shirt people that go around and serve people that are in disasters. So there's lots of symbols. Hands are the symbol
for
action.
So action. What other symbolism is there with your hands?
There is quite a bit. Just the pointing, like this is the pointing. When we do, well, I'll just give you a simple one. So the Ten Commandments, we use the number 4 like this. We say this is number 4, but the 4, and then the tall finger is the steeple for the church. So we say the fourth article or the fourth commandment is, keep the Sabbath day holy. Go to church, right? There's 4 here. So that the look of the hand can represent so many different
things. Isn't there something Hebrew alphabet that goes yes, with that? What, I don't know.
It's the number 10. So the number 10 is a yod, and the yod is the ancient symbol for the yod is the hands, those where the fingers are like close together, and then the thumb is sticking out. So it looks like this. Like this, and that's the number. That's what represents the number 10, and 10 means just like the number 7 means completion. It's also a spiritual symbol in Hebrew. So when you're seeing a sentence and you want to say this is really important or this is spiritual, then you would put a yod.
At the
it's
beginning,
like an,
right?
It's like an apostrophe.
It's at the beginning, right? You're putting it at the beginning
yeah.
of like
yeah,
a
usually
sentence
at the
or
beginning,
whatnot.
Yeah. And it doesn't make a sound. Like it
no,
doesn't,
it just indicates it's important.
It indicates this is really good. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like underlining.
Or it also makes the Y sound. So Yahweh is Jesus, and it starts with a yod.
So it does, it can make a sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's interesting that it's on the beginning of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Spiritual. This is important.
Yeah,
it's spiritual. This is important. Yeah, it's Jehovah.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. If you spell out Yahweh in the Hebrew words and you turn it, if you spell it going downwards, it looks
from
like
top
a
to down.
From yeah. So the Y is at the top, or the Yod is at the top, and that represents like a head, and then the next letters have arms, and the next letter is a body, and then the next letter are legs. It looks like a man, like literally looks like a man. Anyway, that's like neither here nor there. But it has arms and it has hands, right? And the head looks like the hand. So that's just kind of fun. But spiritually meanings, there are lots of, well, okay, symbolism. We're talking about symbolism here. So there are indicators of the different fingers have different meanings. So for instance, this one means strength and power because it's tall.
Mm-hmm.
This one means love and service because it's little, and even the little things in life matter. So there are different meanings for the fingers and the hands. There's a great talk, LDS.org, on, but that's the thing, Sterling W. Seal. I think it's just called Hands. Anyway, in that talk, it talks about all of the different meanings for the fingers and the hands.
Cool.
And if you have my numbers course, it's also in there, so you'll see that. And it'll be in this handout, too. So you can look at the handout and get a little bit more information about the hands. So in the scriptures, where else in the scriptures does it say the human hand is used?
Well, she lists a whole bunch of scriptures here, and I could just sit here and look at them and read them, but you got too much. So one of the things I was thinking of was the right hand.
Oh,
it doesn't
yeah,
say the right side of God. It says the right hand of God.
Yeah. So in Hebrew, also, they use the word hand instead of side. So if you're going to say...
That's just
interesting. So did you know that?
I know, well, not specifically that I didn't realize, but in the scriptures, that's why it's
done. Yeah, so on the wayside, it's on the way hand. The hand way. It's on the hand way, on by the hand way, instead of by the side way.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting? I always thought that was cool. Anyway, yes, so the right hand and the left hand. There's great significance there, the symbolism, too.
I mean, you can say that, okay, well, the hand, if you go like this, the hands are the furthest this way and furthest this way. So, therefore, the sides, they're on the sides, and I guess. But it just seems like there's more significance to that to me, especially when you're talking about, you know, being on the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm. Or or Jesus stood on the right hand of God when he visited Joseph Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it says, yes, okay, so it's technically saying right side. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, there's just that underlying thing with hand. For God's work on earth, who does the physical labor? We do. Mm-hmm. But who is at God's right hand, his right hand man, we say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right hand man. Christ is God's right hand man.
Yeah.
He's the one that everything is orchestrated through for this earth is through Christ.
Yeah. The right hand is the covenant hand. So Jesus Christ has made a covenant with God, so he's the right hand man. We've made a covenant with Jesus Christ, so therefore we are his right hand man. We are his instruments in his hands. The right hand is everything we do with the right hand, we make a covenant with. Think about the temple. You use your right hand to make covenants. Mm-hmm. We use the right hand to sustain. We use the right hand to greet people.
And that goes on into our society as well.
Yes.
Because you put a hand and you raise your hand to, you know, a hand that's supposed, originally, I don't know that they do it that much anymore, but on the Bible, and then the right
and
hand
the right
is
hand,
raised.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And when someone is becomes not a natural born citizen, but gains citizenship, the oath that they take
is with this
with the right hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, it obviously has its roots in scripture and theology, but it is gone into society as well.
Yeah. Now, in the ancient Israel times, there was the sacred position was facing east. That's where Christ is going to come back. He's going to return from the east. So you would face east. So straight ahead is east. So on your right hand then would be south, and on the left hand would be north. Now, when they were putting up their camps around Israel and around the tabernacle, they looked east, and that's where they put Judah. Judah was the next in line to get the priesthood, and so Judah was ahead. He was on the east side of the tent, and then the next person. So Reuben was the oldest, but Reuben fell because of his mistakes he did. So Judah comes and he's in the is on the east, and Reuben then goes to the next position down, and that was on the right hand. So you see Judah and then Reuben.
So you have that right hand.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else in the scriptures?
Oh gosh, washing your hands. Remember when Pilate washed his hands?
Mm-hmm.
What did that mean?
Take whatever it is, and it's not a part of me anymore.
Yeah. I wash my hands of this.
And we
it's
say
a
that
symbol
now.
Of innocence. I'm innocent. This is now on your hands. This is now on you. Mm-hmm. I'm innocent. Yeah.
And why do we use hands there? Obviously, it's because it's an action that we're, you know, it's symbolizing action.
Yeah, and cleansing.
That we are not going to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we wash our hands.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's, we always do the right hand. And we talked about the action.
Oh. We also extend our hand to someone
as a greeting, as a fellowship. I remember watching, I don't remember, some Star Trek or something, and they get off the boat or they get onto this new place where they're ready to visit, and they extend their right hand,
and
they're like, okay, what do you want? Or am I supposed to give you something? I don't understand this right hand thing. and so another show where he extended it and he goes, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to do that. So he pulled it right back. And so they thought that they were supposed to do that. So they went like this too. Anyway, so it is a greeting in our culture. Kissing the hand is an act of homage and of love. Hmm. Just saying thank you. The hand of God is a symbol for power. Because you notice that remember this is the number 10 or the yod in the Hebrew alphabet. The number 10 also is a number of power. And the hand is for power.
Well, and so that goes along with the right hand being the power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, let's go back to the right hand a little bit. I've forgotten to talk about it because it's a covenant hand. It's so important. Even the deacons take the sacrament from the priests with their right hand,
mm-hmm.
right? Receiving that covenant from them. And they pass the sacrament with their right hand as an indicator that this is our covenant hand. You're making a covenant. And we take our right hand to partake of that emblem and mm-hmm. take the sacrament with our right hand. And then we pass it to the next person with our right hand.
Okay, just to ask the question, because I know that if, especially youth were to watch this, like kids were to watch it, they'd say, well, what if I don't have a right hand?
Okay, good question. Remember, we took care of a quadriplegic for a long time in our home, and he couldn't use any of his hands, and so we would give it to him. So we would take the sacrament and feed it to him. But if you don't have a right hand, then your left hand becomes your right hand, right? It becomes that mm-hmm. until you have your full body back.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
And so what's the left hand?
Well, it's called the sinister hand.
It's called the sinister hand, yeah. Not that it's bad.
Well, no. Sinister, also sinistra in Italian, and it means left. Oh. That's how you say left.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And in Spanish, it's that way, too. It's a similar word,
cool.
too.
Cool. So, yeah, it's the sinister hand. It's the hand that you're not making covenants with. That's it. You're being left-handed doesn't make you a bad person. My son is left-handed, and he goes, well, the right hand is so important. Yeah, because it's a covenant hand. Think of that. That's all. You make your covenants with your right hand, no matter if you're left-handed or not. It's just the covenant hand.
Yeah.
Okay. A position at the right hand was regarded as a chief place of honor. So when we talk about Jesus Christ and of power, yeah, Jesus Christ being on the right hand of God. So when I was, it's kind of off subject, but when I was in second grade, I had a friend that was of a different religion. All of my friends were different religions, but she specifically believed in Christ. And so I thought we had this really great connection until we got to start talking about Jesus Christ and the Godhead. And she goes, no, Jesus stood on his right hand. He's the God. That's Jesus and God are the same person. And she literally stood on her right hand and said, this is what Jesus has did. And I'm like, no, there is God the Father and Jesus Christ, and he's sitting next to him on his right hand side. And she's like, no, he stood on his right hand. So we had this big, huge fight. And it literally, sadly, ended up in a big, huge cat fight, and we ended up in the principal's office.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Pretty sad. But yeah, so other religions have different meanings, but really, we know that there's two beings, Joseph and Joseph.
As we talked about this, we talked about Christ being on the right-hand side and everything. And then, so I started thinking about, okay, what is the significance when we place to either receive a being called to a calling
mm-hmm.
or healing? It's always done with the hands laid on the head.
Yeah.
So started to wonder the significance of the hands. And then we talked about how that would be the significance would have to do with Christ and God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is kind of cool because Christ has the authority of God. And then when it comes to a calling, he's giving us that authority by having the hands placed on our head.
Yeah.
And that's giving us the power to act
mm-hmm.
and to do.
Yeah, as God. We're acting as God, in his place, as he would be done.
To be, as we said at the very beginning, from the story of the statue from World War II, we are his hands.
Yeah, we are his hands.
So, and then again, okay, then there's the, we're being healed. Healing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. If you were to fix something in someone, or God, were, it would be using hands to do it.
Yeah. So we are instruments in his hands. And there's two types of instruments. There is the instrument of the tool, like a screwdriver or a saw or something like that, a hammer. Those are instruments that are tools that they can use. And then we also have the other is the instrument, like a musical instrument that is ready to be played. So the difference in that is, for us significantly, is if we're to be a tool, then we need to stay sharp, right? We need to stay put together. The hammer can't fall apart. The screwdriver needs to be powered, or the saw needs to be sharpened. Yeah, things like that. We need to stay sharp. So what are some things in your life that you need to be that help you sharpen your skills and sharpen yourself? And then as a musical instruments don't know when they're going to be played, how they're going to be played, by who they're going to be played. And so we don't either, as long as we are ready to be played. So what are some things in your life that help you to be ready to be used by God?
And remembering, you know, things like the I was just immediately thinking of the Master's Hand, that poem.
Yeah.
It talks about the fiddler and the fiddle that's going up to be auctioned, and then it's like nobody's offering, and then the master comes up and plays, and it's suddenly way more valuable.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we become more valuable, is by being willing to be ready for God to be able to use us.
Yeah, yeah. We are truly his hands. We are truly his hands.
So how can we... How does that relate, and how do we teach our children these things?
I think, first of all, to be an example, that we become hands of God so that our kids, and have their kids mimic us.
Well, and I think teaching them some of the symbolisms of it, understanding why we encourage, you know, none of the, you know, partaking of the sacrament, you're not required to use your right hand.
No.
But we encourage it.
Yes.
And understanding
and knowing why.
That's
so
what I'm
important.
Saying.
Yeah.
If we explain and understand, if we understand why, if we understand why we make other covenants with the right hand, and understand the symbolism and everything, then that in itself will help them to...
I agree. I remember teaching a class of teenagers about the significance of taking the sacrament with your right hand, and they're like, I never knew that. That is so cool. Now I will remember it forever. You know, and that's the joy of understanding what you're doing. It opens up the heart so much more. So much more. I was just reminded of a story that I'm reading. We're reading The Lost Prince right now as a family. And there's a part in there where the little boy is talking to the cripple, and the cripple says, aren't you jealous of me and my relationship with your father?
And you're telling me this.
Yeah. And I just love this part. And he goes, and the little boy said, jealous? Why should I be jealous? Yes, you're taking up my dad's time and you love my dad, but I love him too, but he's going to need me soon.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I waste my time with jealousy? I need to be ready at a moment's notice. And if I'm jealous, I'm not going to be ready. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I just love that. Why am I wasting my time with being jealous? I need to be ready at every moment. Just like we need to be ready. We need to be sharpened.
And ready for the God to be able to use us.
Yes. All right. Thank you for joining us today. You are God's hands.
Okay. We'll see you later.
Bye.